This week in Your Parents' Basement, we are playing a cult classic arcade beat-em-up and saving heirlooms for the Baseball Hall of Fame. From 1993, we're playing Ninja Baseball Batman, developed and published by the Irem Corporation for the arcade. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the man that's working on baseball playing robots in his basement. It's Huell Hauser.
Let's go to their hideout and beat them up.
And our other co-host, he's back from glamping his way across the globe. It is Todd Brisket.
Oh, I think I played the wrong game this week. I played Cowboy Fireman Astronaut.
Oh,
that is a stellar spinoff of this game. And God, that'd be a hell of a game, too.
Didn't play Cowboy Football Superman?
Didn't play Popeye No Bichu Volleyball?
Oh, no. Popeye No Bichu Volleyball.
You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Play, or iTunes. And when you do, be sure to give us some stars. You can also join our Discord channel by going to ypbpodcast.com/Discord, where you can chat with all the sweet baby boys. Also, if you want to support the show, you can find our Amazon click-through link on the YPB homepage, ypbpodcast.com. The homepage is also where you can find our archive, which is accessible by clicking the button on the top of the page. This past week was prime week, but that's no reason to stop spending. This week's game is Ninja Baseball Batman. Released in 1993, this is a side-scrolling beat-em-up game that is very odd and very colorful. You play as one of four robot baseball players, each with their own weapons, strengths, and weaknesses. Not surprisingly, the concept was created by Irem America's national sales manager, Drew Maniscalco, who noted that the top movies at the time were Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman. Hmm. So he just like, hey, why don't we just combine them together? So I nominated this game for coverage because it was in an SB Nation article by James Brady about the most bizarre and strange sports-themed games. Huell, I know you've had some fatigue with beat-em-ups in the past, but what did you think of this one?
So when I learned the title of the game we were playing was Ninja Baseball Batman, I could not imagine my excitement thinking that there was a Batman baseball game that I did not know about. Oh. However, my excitement was quickly squashed when I found out it was another beat-em-up. But once I played it, my excitement went back up because this is probably my favorite beat-em-up we've played.
It is such a delight.
It is so fun.
It is so fun.
Yeah. It is so bizarre. I mean, it's like straight out of Japan. They got wacky characters. The best part is you're not like overwhelmed with enemies. Like you don't feel like you're just like completely like without a chance here. And like the combos are easy to pull off. You're just bashing anthropomorphic gloves with like eyes and legs. Like it's great. This is such a good game.
Wow, I'm surprised. Yeah. I thought you would like it, but you sounds like you love this game.
It was just like fun. It was just fun to play. Like we don't.
This is it feels
often.
Like a diversion.
Yeah, because most beat 'em ups
outside of the general beat 'em up category. This is just like a little delight. This is it reminds me a lot of like a Castle Crashers, where it's just colorful, bright. Mm-hmm. You're not. There's a way to beat whatever you're seeing on screen. You just have to get around it.
It's not just like, because the beat 'em up fatigue I get into is when there's like three enemies on the screen. They each take like 25 hits to get rid of. Like it doesn't matter what plane you're on. They can hit you no matter where you are, but you have to be like in a exact precise location. But like this one, like you're smashing balls, you're throwing bats with eyes at other bats, you're throwing decks of cards with faces. Like it's such a great crazy game. Like it's just fun and it's a variety and it's got like all the good parts of a beat 'em up.
Yeah, it's it's bonkers in a good way.
And I've also, yeah, like I never heard of this thing before, so it was just a fun surprise.
Mm-hmm. I am, yeah, I'd never heard of this before reading the article. And then I played it for like 5 minutes before I suggested it. And I was like, oh, this is quite fun. Then I played through it again on, I did have to use an evaluation copy on an emulator. My local arcade does not have this one.
Unsurprisingly.
Yes. And
yeah, very weird.
And no, it is just, it is fun. You can pick up the baseballs and throw them around at one another. And it's just, as you guys said, it's just wacky. It's,
I mean, you got the four playable characters, each with a different skill set. Mm-hmm. Like you got the all around guy, you got the small speedy one.
Well, let's go through their stats.
I'm just saying, like it's the tropes of the beat 'em up of like the four different types.
Yeah, they got the four. You got sure. Let's go through the characters while we're on this topic. All right, you got the balanced guy, Captain Jose.
Exactly.
6'11", 174 pounds. Known in Japan as Captain Red. He's head of the team and a technician. He's well balanced, making him the best choice for beginners. His hat has a letter I. Then you have Twin Bats Rhino, 5'7", 145 pounds, known in Japan as Twin Bats Green. He's a speedy attacker that wields two bats, is the weakest. His hat has a letter R.
He's the weak but fast one.
Yeah, he's speedy. So the good thing about Twin Bats Rhino is he goes vertically up and down the screen very fast, which is great to get out of the way of any attacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I primarily ended up playing with him, just because he can avoid a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Beanball Roger, 5'9", 240 pounds. He's a big old boy.
He's a big.
He's
man.
Known he's in Japan as Beanball Yellow. He's powerful.
The chonker.
He's a powerful buster. Yeah.
Powerful buster.
He's cleaning up. Not as fast as the others. His hat has a letter E.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have last but not least, but my least used.
Well,
Stick Straw.
I would say least, yes.
Yeah.
Stick Straw, 7'2".
Insane.
194 pounds. He's known in Japan as Stick Blue. He is a long reach hitter, making him the best choice for players who want to fight with long range moves. His hat has a letter M. Now, I found him the most unplayable just because his expertise is being long range. And if you're doing a multiplayer version of this game, I think it'd be great to have one player play as Stickstraw. But playing by yourself, you got to get up close to all these bad boys. Stickstraw is not going
to
cut it.
Yeah, I did not find his reach to be that long. And he was also like too weak, like as in like health. Like I feel like I died so much quicker with him.
Yeah.
Than the others.
Yeah, the enemies. The one time I tried using him, I felt like the enemies just swarmed me.
Yeah,
and I couldn't actually attack them.
The reach just doesn't do anything. Good enough.
Now I mostly used that big old boy, Beanball Roger. Because
yeah, I had fun with Beanball.
He played for my Red Sox at the time of this game, so I was like, yeah, I want to use the Roger Clemens robot stand-in. I guess
is it. Is he a Roger Clemens stand-in?
Yeah, that's...
I guess so.
Yeah, that's what the names are. Jose Canseco, Twin Bats Rhino, Ryan Sandberg, Beanball Roger is Roger Clemens, and Stick Straw is Daryl Strawberry. So,
okay. Basically, that makes sense now, yeah.
They went 1-for-4 on picking good role models for these robots.
Basically.
They picked two guys on steroids and another one on a whole bunch of other substances. So,
hey, Ryan Sandberg, solid dude.
Yep. Rhino. Yeah, that was their reasoning for the names. They gave them names of real ball players.
Kind of.
Yeah. There's a lot of borrowing of hot IP in this, cuz it's also clearly like Ninja Turtles,
this is like you said, like this definitely reminds me of Turtles in Time, the arcade classic.
Yeah, like it's, you know, I'd say Turtles in Time is better than this, but Turtles in Time is like better than everything. It's better than breathing sometimes.
Whoa,
but But this, like, clearly, like, Jose is Leonardo, Stickstraw is Donatello, and for the other two, I guess Raphael is more powerful.
Oh, 2 out of 4 ain't bad.
Well, I feel like Raphael or Michelangelo could be Rhino, but I don't know who Roger is.
Yeah, there's no big, slow Ninja Turtle.
No, because they're...
Not until you get to the extended turtle universe.
What about that robot?
Yeah, that mecha turtle.
He's a bad guy, though.
He was in there for a little bit.
Yeah, he turned good, didn't he?
I don't know. I think so.
He got turnt.
Who knows? There's been like 20 years of Turtles cartoons at this point. So
probably longer.
I've seen like two years worth. But
Herzog.
A true expert.
Herzog, 2 years. But no, even though it's, you know, the fact that they kind of crib a little bit from the Turtles and from they use baseball players' names, it does not detract from this gameplay at all.
Does not, yeah.
Gameplay and the bonkers theme is just, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, it's hardly based on the Ninja Turtles. Like, there's 4 different characters and they have different colors. And they're ninjas, yeah. I guess, but... They're barely even ninjas. I thought they were robots, but there's like a picture of them with their helmets off somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I thought they were robots as well, but
definitely look like robots.
Wait, they're not robots?
They're not robots.
They are not robots. They are just ninjas. Their face is covered.
Wow. I don't know if this spoils a later segment, but I found the official Ninja Baseball Batman website, which has a like an anime picture of them with their helmets off.
Wow, that is...
And that's the incredible. Only reason I knew, here, I'll send it, that they were not robots. Because they have, like, armor. Like, it looks like robot plating, but it's definitely, I guess, they're people who are ninjas.
Well, are you sure that they're actually... I guess they must be, because the...
Look, I didn't write the thing. I just
No reason for them to be robots.
That is a
right? Story wise
thing. Like, should we get into the story, the deep story that we have here?
Well, why are they wearing like
they're wearing ninjas?
They wear ninja masks. It covers their face.
Stuff.
They what?
I don't know. They're wearing like metal gloves and stuff. It looks
for
like.
Protection.
Batting gloves.
I wonder if it's like a Mega Man situation.
They have to punch all these giant slot machines. They don't want to hurt their hands.
Yeah, that's true, but no, I think it might be like a Mega Man situation where they're robots
that but they have hair
that look like people.
Looking at this guy on the left here in this picture, Beanball Roger.
Yeah.
And he has a tiny head. If you take off his suit of armor, he's got some tree trunks going out of
him.
Yeah.
It's a real 40K Space Marine situation. And also, Beanball is not that, Beanpole. What the hell is his name? Stick Johnson's not that tall.
So oh, artist, yes.
Artist didn't get this really that.
Yeah, 7'2". He should be the tallest. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like an inch taller than Rhino.
Huel, are you sure that this is canon? Canon.
If it's
canon.
If it's on the official website, then it's in the show.
That means it's in the show.
Yes.
I mean, what more do you want?
That's a good point.
Got out again. The story here is that various artifacts have been stolen from the Baseball Hall of Fame, and that the Commissioner of Baseball has tasked the 4 Ninja Baseball Warriors. I don't even know what they're called to go get them back.
Mm-hmm. And another great thing about this game, it takes place entirely in God's America.
It does. I mean, I guess so. Yeah.
Mhm.
Uh huh. Where do you go?
Cisco.
Cisco's
the second. Okay, that's the only one I remember.
Where the cruise ship is. I don't know if they named the first level, but then you go to Vegas.
Vegas.
How about you go to Texas and it's like this haunted house level?
Yeah, Texas is a haunted house level.
What's that all
about? Ghost town.
Very confusing to me.
Very strange. Like, they wanted, like, a spooky level, and they're like, Texas? It didn't make any sense.
Well, I think it had to be somewhere where there's still a baseball team though. So, like, well,
I guess
there a team in Vegas at the time?
No. Or now.
in where?
Vegas. It doesn't have to be.
No, no.
There's a team.
Just hockey.
You know what I call that place? Lost wages.
Oh, yeah. But I don't remember the reason that the artifacts were scattered about the various cities.
Well,
They go to Florida by the boss.
They go to Hawk's hometown with just swamps by the highway. It's just how they roll there.
Stepping over gators and Crocs. Well, I mean,
that part wasn't that far off.
No. The boss was a
you know gator. Just to put a spoiler alert here, we find out that the commissioner, like, he's the one that's like behind all of this, and he like sent them on this wild goose chase. It seems like to get him out of New York, so that he could do evil stuff. So, you know, that's who you're up against at the end.
Mm-hmm. That is the key to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. A dirty commissioner.
I do like I think it's the first level boss. You fight him on an airplane, and the boss that you fight is an airplane.
Yes. Windy plane.
It was amazing.
And whenever you hit him, he cries.
Could be my favorite part. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
The other bosses are pretty great as well. I mean, that's a fantastic boss. Not to mention the fact that he's just so well drawn or animated. Like he has a lot of character in him. Boss is
most of this game. Yeah,
yeah. The makeshift villain, which is like a poodle in like standing on its hind legs, wearing a purple jumpsuit. And has a patch over its eye.
Yeah.
And it has a machine gun.
Yeah, it's like a shih tzu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it has bows in its hair. It's
just called makeshift villain. It's like, oh, it's a dog. It's got a gun and like a trench coat. Yeah, why not?
Trench coat. Purple
trench coat.
It's
kind of meta. It's almost meta.
Meta.
And this is at the hideout, I believe.
Yeah.
But the gator that you fight in Florida.
Yeah, his name is Mechanical Alligator.
When you beat it, it turns into a handbag.
Yeah.
Like a leather handbag.
In Dallas, the boss, or Texas, I don't know if it's Texas or Dallas, but the boss is Ghost Buffalo, because it's in a haunted house, and it's just like a compilation of different household items, like candles and
like haunted,
a refrigerator as its
items.
Body. And a mounted bullhead as its head.
It's like the mounted bullhead, and like throws candlesticks at you, and it's insane. Actually, the candlesticks are the feet. I guess it kicks you.
And then I think that's all of the sub bosses.
Yeah, the bosses have barely anything to do with baseball. Not that most of this game does anyway.
Yeah,
but it like. Like the first level, boss. Well, the first level you fight like baseball items, like they're like I said, they're like bats and gloves with like faces, but then everything else is just like insanity. And
well, when you go to Vegas, you fight like playing cards,
right. But like that shoot fire. Like nothing else after that, besides the last level, has to do with baseball, which is fine because it's a blast.
Yeah.
And the final boss, we already revealed the spoiler in this one. It's the commissioners behind it all, and he hops on the back of this statue, this golden statue, Mad Max style.
Yeah,
Master Blaster,
the statue you're supposed to be saving, I believe.
Yeah, and he turns into the King Babe.
I wonder who that is.
It's hard to tell. Could never know.
I think it's Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, Lou Gehrig disease, right? Hey, you know, one of my favorite things is in this game, one of the items is called, it's a little heart that drops on the ground. I think it says love on it or something like that. Mm-hmm. And when you pick it up, the cheerleaders come out and do a dance and destroy all the enemies on the screen.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, for an American baseball person, that's something weird. Like, why are all these ladies dancing? But hey, this is a Japanese game. They have cheerleaders in Japan, baseball Japan.
Yeah, that was going to be a question because we definitely don't.
Yeah, Japan does have cheerleaders.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. That part was confusing to me. I just figured, oh, they must have added this for the game for some fun. Like,
They thought that's what America wanted. They're like, we put cheerleaders in.
Yeah.
They like that.
Mm-hmm. One thing I will say, I think you guys touched on a little bit earlier. This game does ease you into things, which is really nice. Like, I did not lose a life until stage 3, the Vegas.
Yeah, it does ease you in well, yes. It doesn't get extremely difficult. Boys, I forgot to mention up top. Great to talk to you after 2 weeks.
Oh my,
two
thank
weeks
you.
Of no speako.
I agree.
Oh, nice to see you back in studio. We're all here together again.
You opened your house to us.
Last week's everybody's over here in my home studio. Last week's episode of Lion King, and I played that one as a kid, and I definitely remember the second stage just ruining me.
The destruction.
I could not beat it.
Yeah, it's insane.
And it's such a drastic difference between that game and this one, where it eases you, and you feel like it's getting slightly more difficult as you go on. It doesn't just destroy you on the second stage.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's an arcade game. They want you to keep it going and make you think you have a chance. Spend them quarters.
Mm-hmm. No, it's really nice. And I think, is the third stage Vegas? Because that is definitely the one that... Those cards, just because they're smaller, they're harder to hit, and those finally took me down. But even then, it was it was nice. It was just a blast to play this one. So
agreed.
Just to touch on where this one is now, Ninja Baseball Batman actually sold fairly well in Japan, but did not move many units in America. Only 43, according to Wikipedia.
Wow.
Ooh, that's less than what I read.
It's less than 1%.
I read 57 machines made it to our U.S. shores.
Ooh. Either way, that's not good.
It's a good explanation of why we have never heard of this game or seen it before.
Yeah, I would go to the arcade back in the day, and this is just completely foreign to me. It did decent in Japan, about 1,000 in Japan, according to an interview with Maniscalco Co., the guy who pitched this. It was probably due to the economic situation of the company at the time. They stopped most of their game development in 1994, and since then they've mostly repackaged old games and done R-type games. However, the game found a new audience with the expansion of ROMs and emulators like MAME. So
fun.
Yeah. I did not see anything about them re-releasing this, though. So
yeah, right now in America, U.S. America, unless you're one of the lucky 43, the only way to play this game is on a ROM.
I mean, that's what they're known as, the lucky 43. They meet once a year at the start of the baseball season and talk about,
in Cisco,
Ninja Baseball, Batman.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't blame them.
It's like the old undefeated Dolphins guys getting together every year.
Oh, man. No, it's weird. A lot of the IREM, or God, I don't even remember how to say it. A lot of their games,
I think you got it.
IREM.
Sure.
They do have some games you've heard of, like, Moon Patrol, we've covered on this show.
Oh. Undercover Cops was their big hit before this one.
they are the R-Type company, which I believe we have played an R-Type or two on this here program.
Well, Todd, we've played a game that some people love, and that you love, called The Guardian Legend.
Oh, they did that one.
Nice. They published it, at least.
Oh, okay. Well, good for their publishers.
And also just, you know, they did a lot of games here that you've heard of, at least, like Deadly Towers and Kung Fu and stuff like that. Super R-Type. But I don't know. They as far as I know, they have not bundled all that stuff together into like one collection that people can buy in a store. I also note they have something on here for PlayStation Portable that, God, I wish we could play, called Doki Doki Sudoku.
Too bad. But,
Yep. Unfortunately. Wow. Yes. Unfortunately, Japan only, it looks like. And yeah, we will not get to play it. I'm sorry. But anyway, that's kind of where they are now. So the last games they came out with were for the PlayStation Portable. And at this point, most of their original game designers have spun off to do, stuff like Metal Slug. The Metal Slug series was done by people who spun off from Irem, and also just they formed their own game companies to just basically do clones of games they originally did for this company. So that's kind of it.
That's it. See you later, Irem.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should probably move along here. Todd, were you able to find any most best this week?
Wow. You know, it was because this game is not a game that's for sale. Huh. It's tough to find too many reviews. I did pull a snippet from GameFAQs this game, Ninja Baseball Batman, is the most best game of all time. GameFAQs reviews are so long, so I just pulled a little
yeah,
snippet.
People go nuts on that.
All right, this is an excerpt from a review titled, Funk Ninja Master Jose is batting against a mob dog. What in the world did I just say? And that was written by Lord Omega Yagami in August of 2003. Mm. And he wrote, Lord Omega Yagami wrote, NBBBM plays like a 18-year-old kid lying about his age in the Little League World Series. The characters all move very freely and each have their own variety of moves. I'm talking 4, 5, 6 moves per character, bunch that most people don't even know. And I'm not talking just spinning around or those other moves that are in every single beat 'em up. No, I'm talking 15 hit combos, flipping enemies, throwing bombs, summoning dragons, and then batting them out of the park. This game probably has more moves than the Bouncer does. That PlayStation 2 game. You can also summon cheerleaders to give you a hand. I don't remember the last time I saw cheerleaders at a baseball game, but hey, I don't recall seeing too many ninjas either.
No!
Oh,
besides, it gives a good effect.
Wrecked.
And there are no weapons except your bats, but there are plenty of odd things to throw. 5 stars.
Oh.
That's true. You can throw some stuff.
There's a lot of things to throw. Like baseballs.
Bases. The base. The titular base.
The titular base in the baseball.
Yes. It's also weird. So versus every other beat 'em up, those items don't seem to do any better damage. It's just like
probably not.
Just hitting him with the bat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to keep him at range.
Guy. Yeah.
Keep him at range. I did. Hey, since I couldn't find too many reviews for this game specifically, I did find 3 reasons why the DC Comics Batman baseball hat is the most best hat of all time.
I could not.
This is a hat that has a Batman emblem on it. It's gray. It's got charcoal Batman on a black Batman logo on charcoal hat. And the first review is by Batwoman FL. Titled Awesome Hat in July of 2019. Oh, our recording month right now. She made this review. And Batwoman FL wrote, great hat. I get a lot of compliments over this hat. People keep stopping me and asking me where I bought the hat. Great quality hat. I just wish they had better adjustable strap. 5 stars.
Oh, man. No adjustable strap?
No adjustable strap. Next one is titled Batman Style by CLD in May of 2019. CLD wrote, "Fits like a hat should. Wore with Batman boxer briefs to a party theme even as a joke. Oh, it worked great. 5 stars.
Fits like a hat should.
Mm-hmm.
On your head?
Yep.
There you go.
All right, last one. Short and sweet one. It's titled... It's by Kitty Hopkins. Kitty Hopkins. Oh. In December of 2017. And the title of her review is, "He loves Batman, watches all time." And Kitty wrote, "I think he likes the colors in it." 5 stars.
Wow, what an authoritative review.
I think he likes the
colors. Oh, Todd, before I forget, or Huel, maybe even you want to do this week. We forgot to share the name of this game in Japanese and what it means.
Oh, true. I think my favorite part of this.
Yeah, Todd, I just put that in there if you would like
Downtown,
to
read that. Neketsu Koshin Kyoku Sureyuke Daiundokai All-Star Special.
Oh, no. Sorry, that was a different game we played.
For the listener, that was not live.
Different baseball game, I think, even.
That was a different baseball game, yeah. For the Game Boy, I believe it was a Game Boy. This one is Yakyu Kakuto Ligoman. Sorry, Ligoman.
Yes.
Which means baseball hand-to-hand fighting league man.
If only it was called that. They might have bought more systems.
I know. Somehow, you know, somehow this game has two great names for it. Like, many people struggle with just finding one. Like the bouncer from that review. By the way, the bouncer, I had to look that up. Since it dated
it's a Square game. It's a Squaresoft, one of their first forays into non-RPG territory.
Came out in 2000. I would have thought like 2010. I would have been way off.
I have this game. I have the bouncer. However, it does not work. I put it in my system. I push buttons, nothing happens. I've had this game since it I bought it off one of my friends for like $2. And,
my God.
And I just, it doesn't work.
Huel,
doesn't work.
Do you want to say it?
Sorry, what?
It is not a game that you can put in your system and turn on.
Oh, no.
Oh, it is not.
Oh.
It's not a game you can play. You can put it in, watch the intro.
DuckTales.
You can watch the intro video. And, but you cannot play it.
Oh, that's
at least my copy that I have.
Oh, no. Well, so I do not have a Yelp review this week. So, Huel, I'm not sure if you were able to find a manual for this one.
Well, I kind of hinted at it before. I could not. What I did find was the official Ninja Baseball Batman website. Which is actually, like, you might think it's like the Space Jam website, which is a fun relic of 1995 internet. But it looks like this is kind of updated regularly. Well, not regularly, but it's at least like modern. Like there's a new logo from 2016 for some reason. Like pictures of people cosplaying as the ninjas in 2013. So like someone over at IROM or someone, I don't even know. Hold on. It doesn't really have anything. Oh, Drew Maniscalco. I think, is running this website. The dude we were talking about before.
Wow.
I mean, it's got, like, pages of the development. Actually, there's more here than I thought. Like, it's got, like, concept art, I guess, that the dude originally drew.
Yeah, this guy, I did look at this website, and he did come up with the characters and such, and he does take a lot of pride in this game. But when you look at the sketches that he made originally, it's like, okay, I could draw a stick figure too.
Well, yeah. And then Gordon Morrison apparently made some better drawings But
it's great that this guy has kept this up and kept the Ninja Batman alive.
The original Ninja Baseball Batman drawing looks like the sketches I would find from when I was 8.
Yeah, like the, there's like a or a serial killers
or that,
but glued to his wall.
But I mean, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here.
The Wikipedia page has the flyer for this game, like that we sent out to try to get like arcade owners to buy it.
Yeah,
and that's pretty good. It's pretty good, but it's got a lot going on. It has an aggressively busted cheerleader on it. Like,
yeah, it really
it's
does.
Super busted.
In the upper left hand corner. Like
she has a tray full of treats. Wait, if you look closer what she's serving.
She's got
hamburgers, ice creams, chocolates, french fries, shakes, cakes.
It's a baseball game, man.
Sausages, yeah. And bombs.
And bombs. Oh.
You don't want to pay attention to the baseball game. Mm-hmm. When you're there. Yeah, apparently he lists his I found a good picture of this dude. Apparently he lists his other game cabinets that he made. Like there's a SpongeBob bowling or something.
Oh.
Yeah, he made a lot of different arcade games here. So I'm gonna give this website 5 out of 5 Space Jams.
Oh, that's all right. A good score.
Yeah.
I don't know what to really say here.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like a pretty normal dude.
Yeah. He looks like your neighbor that you see mowing the lawn once a week.
Yeah. He was a marketing guy, I believe. So not necessarily a developer or anything, but you know, he had the right idea with this.
This basically seems like like the Drew Maniscalco website more than the Ninja Baseball Batman website. Like the more you click around, it's just about him and the stuff he's done.
What's
which is fine. Be proud of your work.
He's in the arcade business. His job is, I think, it's probably like selling cabinets or something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that's still going great for him. I hope he's landed on his feet doing something else.
Yeah, based on the numbers we read earlier, I don't know. That was a good job.
Well, let's say I did see the other cabinets he's taken pictures of himself with, and I do see those all over the Chuck E. Cheese's that my kids go to. Mm. A lot of SpongeBob, some Nicktoons, all that stuff. Those things are all over the place.
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
And I will note there is a LinkedIn for a sales manager at Atlantic Records with the same name. So I'm assuming that might be his day-to-day job now.
Yeah, if he's moved up in the sales to from the popular business of arcade machines to the even more popular business of records, I think he's doing all right.
Oh, and I will say there is a Ninja Baseball Batman comic series that's on Kickstarter, but unfortunately, I don't know if they have the game anywhere that you can really get. The series follows Jose Majors, a veteran baseball player, toward the end of his career, who lives a dual life as a superhero Ninja Baseball Batman. So, you guys are definitely right. It's not a Mega Man situation at all.
Sorry, man.
Ugh.
And in case you were wondering, there is a Ninja Baseball Batman store on his website.
Oh, I mean, maybe I would like a shirt.
I was right on the edge of actually ordering a shirt yesterday. I might actually do that now. It's such a sweet, great game.
Yeah,
just a good time.
Well, I'm gonna share my Herzog hierarchy ranking then. Not much mystery on this one. I'm going with Herzog 10.
Oh, is that a 10?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is just a splendid game, and it's still a lot of fun to play. My only regret was that, you know, it's not re-released. You cannot play this with 4 players at once. So
locally you can. Yeah. Locally, get your local Maven cabinet up, you can do that.
like that. That'd be the only way you could do it. But even, yeah, I mean that's still in the future for me. So,
True.
All right, Todd, you've had 2 weeks off. Did you want to give a score?
He could give two scores.
Yes. Oh. Did you want to give ratings?
Oh, before I do that, I just wanted to say that Ninja Baseball Batman is the black sheep of the beat-em-up family. I'm the black sheep of the family. And that it's an actually a good, fun game, and you can, a little hint here, you can replay it, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Wow. All right, then.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the DuckTales scale has two primary factors. Factor number one being nostalgia. How much nostalgia do I have for this game in question? Factor number two, replayability. Would I replay it in these times we live in? These troubling times? Would I replay it? Okay, those two factors, let me see. Nostalgia. No nostalgia for this game at all. I probably have heard the name at some point and chuckled and said, "Oh, hey, there's a game," but I'd not played it nor seen it at all. So no nostalgia for this game at all. Replayability. Hey boys, like I said, this is a beat 'em where you're gonna want to re-beat it. You're gonna want to re-beat 'em. This is a fun little jaunt. It's a colorful, bright characters. I'm going to set it up on my main cabinet and play it with my own young children at home. Good replayability for this one. Just a fun time. Those two factors being factored in, I would put Ninja Baseball Batman in at a point. Let's see here. A 0.53 DuckTales.
Mm. Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Hurt by the fact that you probably hadn't heard of it.
No nostalgia knocks it down.
I said 0.62 because I thought the replayability would drag it up higher, but I'm not way off.
Well, I mean, the zero nostalgia really did make an impact. I had not heard of this game at all.
I should have known. When I sent it, I wanted to knock it down, but I got to stick with my guns. But hey, maybe we're both rusty.
Well, Todd, did you want to give a rating for Lion King as well?
I did not make a guess, but go ahead.
Sure. Nostalgia, Lion King for the Super SNES is the one I played as a kid. I did not play it again last week. I'm going off memory here from when I was a young.
Yes.
And nostalgia, pretty good. You know, hey, it's the Lion King. You got those tunes. You got Elton John and Lord Tindleberry over there making their songs. And great nostalgia. JTT in his prime. Jamie Earl Jones.
Yeah, in his prime, as we know, because he's done nothing since.
Nothing else. Jamie Earl Jones, who we know as Darth Vader's, in his post-prime, I guess. I don't know. You know, the great, great nostalgia for The Lion King. I watched it hundreds of times as a kid. I had it on the VHS. I watched it many times. The game played many times, but, you know, I never could get past that second stage. Great nostalgia for Lion King and the game. Replayability, not there. Sorry. It does have good tunes inside the game itself. The graphics are pretty good for a SNES platformer. But replayability is just not there. They didn't knock out all the kinks in balancing the game before letting it loose on the unsuspecting children like me. That being said, I would calculate Lion King for the SNES, the Super SNES, in at a 0.25 DuckTales.
Oh, I was way off.
Yeah, Steve, would you like to reveal what happened in the background here?
0.58. I shot a guess to Huel.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's higher than Ninja Baseball Batman.
After I said that I was not guessing, Steve jumped on the opportunity. Mm-hmm. What did you say, 0.25?
Yes, that's all nostalgia.
Yeah, it's all nostalgia.
Well, see, you'd mentioned it earlier in the show, so I was like, well, there's going to be some nostalgia points here.
There's some.
Yeah, and I don't know. I remember us being kind of okay with the game last week, that we liked the animation, the graphics, the sound. It's just that that second stage is like, oh, God, shoot me.
So those are just minor primary factors in when I'm factoring in replayability. Mm. The sound, the graphics. It's got to be a game you can play.
I feel like sound and graphics more of a nostalgia factor in this one.
It is. They do factor more into the nostalgia. Because you can whistle along, doodle doo 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 doo. And, hey, I just can't wait to be king.
Great song.
While you're playing that game, yeah.
I mean, while you're playing that level for 38 minutes, you can hear that song a lot.
Hmm.
Yep.
Well, thank you for two ratings this week, Todd. Was there anything else, Huel, that you wanted to share about this game before we moved on?
Oh, just that I like that the slot machine's boss's name was called Defending Slot.
Yeah.
This is the boss of the Las Vegas level.
Yes. Todd, how about you?
No, I think we got a good one thing. I looking at a video here on my screen right now. Just want to reiterate the artwork is great. It's got like this cel shading effect on it where it looks like it's coming from a comic book or a manga, as they say in Japan.
It is tremendous artwork. But we need to move along here to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you get any emails?
I did get an email. It's a short one. And the subject is, have you ever cosplayed? Dear YPB, cosplaying is when you dress up as a fictional characters for fun. Thank you for responding. And that's from mantifa@gmail.com.
Huh.
Okay. Oh, how nice. How nice of him to write in.
How nice of him to define it for us.
You know, it's not really cosplaying, but for Halloween,
when I was
a Ute, I would I dressed as Mario one year, and another year I think I was Link. So
the big two.
Yeah,
you know what, Steve? You found the one day out of the year that is not cosplay when everyone does it.
Listen, that's it's the only time I dress up
as someone else. Steve just likes being Steve. That's what I learned.
I mean, most Halloweens, I feel like I'm under 50% for participation in Halloween at this point.
Well, I mean, you're in your 30s. About right.
Yeah, I don't have children, so I feel like I don't need to dress up for Halloween. So,
I mean, did you in college at least, right?
Oh, yeah. That was... You know,
but then there's that time,
ulterior motives.
That time between college and like middle school where you don't. So yeah, maybe you're right. Probably less than half my life, I have Halloweened.
And after college, like, you know, I don't know. I did it like last year. I threw on a baseball jersey to hand out candy, but
that doesn't count.
Hey, look at me! I'm a baseball man. You know what? What's great?
I'm a ninja baseball Batman.
I'm the only one out of us three here in studio right now that has children's, but it's a
human
grand
children.
Old human children. I don't have fur babies, no fur babies, or doggos or catty kits. But it's great to have your kids dress up, walk them around the neighborhood, chit chat. You know, there's always at least one house on every street is having a parent treat area where they give you a shot or two. So. It's a good time. You never noticed when you're a kid. Maybe it's something new in the past decade or two.
Yeah.
But like at least one house on a street will have one parent handing out the candy.
spiraling out of control.
One parent will be handing out candy to the kids, and another parent will be handing out Jello shots to the parents, or tequila, or whatever, margaritas. You know,
mommy needs her medicine.
Mommy's gotta get right.
Oof. Well then, so did we share whether we actually cosplayed though? So I have not.
I think we did, which is I did not, which is no, I have not cosplayed.
Yeah, mine is a no.
I'm definitely not opposed to doing it, and it's just that there's so much effort, man. Got to put on all the
I don't have
all the stuff. I don't have a sewing machine. What's going on? I can't.
I don't have the creative ability or like sewing. Yeah, sewing ability.
The sewing man skills. Yeah,
I don't know how to make materials into other things.
Yeah.
At
the first basement con, we can cosplay as the hosts of the YPB.
I just have zero desire to do that. Like, I will wear a video game shirt. I have a Nuka-Cola shirt that I'll wear around sometimes.
So don't think you get the idea what
cosplay he's cosplaying is. As a Nuka-Cola machine.
No, I'm saying I will wear a video game t-shirt, but I'm not dressing as like a character.
Like, get a cardboard, get a refrigerator box, hop inside and wear that Nuka-Cola shirt and start handing out soda pops to the kids.
Oh, I thought you were saying I should just walk around with the cardboard box on top of me and I could be Solid Snake.
That's a good cosplay.
Yeah, that's you guys ever been to that website? I think it's like MUPEN64, where it's the guy just doing a... just doing video game skits.
No.
I'll show it to you guys after. But it's like one of them is he just does Metal Gear Solid, and it's just him hiding in a box in like supermarket aisles and stuff like that. So
sounds cheeky.
He is very cheeky. So Huel, how about you? Did you get any mails?
I did. Says dear YPB. Wow, The Lion King. A great movie and a great game. It's just one of many great franchises in the Disney library. Who could forget all the classics, as well as the great movies still being made today? Some might say a lot of people would buy a video game based off a Disney movie, even now. What Disney movie would you make a game out of that hasn't been done yet? And that's from
Ooh.
That's from b.iger@disney.com.
Oh, man. You know, his real email is probably something like that.
who are you talking about?
Well, Bob Iger.
I just got this earlier today. I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, that is weird that
he's a listener.
That he would use his real email, and also then that we would share it to him
to get ideas from us.
Yeah. Well, if anyone has a pitch to send to him, make sure you send him that too. But, I have an answer that jumps to my mind right away.
Sure, sure.
And it is that weird Robin Hood movie from like the 70s. They're all
the Fox. That's not a weird one. That's a great. That's one of my all-time favorite Disney cartoons.
Yeah, it's what launched the furries that we know today.
It really probably did.
Mm-hmm. I would say so.
Yeah, 1973.
So what kind of game would it be?
I think it'd be a mod for
Crusader Kings 2.
Squad-based tactical shooter.
I was thinking an open world apocalypse game where it's after the fall of Nottingham.
Kart racer? Robin Hood kart racer?
No, I think you could do it as an adventure game, like a Zelda kind of game.
Zelda.
Because obviously Robin, there's no confirmation of this. There's no way to prove it. I feel like Link is a little Robin Hoodie. Like they both have swords and bows and arrows.
Yeah, there's some.
They got their green hats.
I don't think Robin Hood has a sword.
I thought he did.
He does. He does.
He has a sword fight in this movie.
Really? He's primarily an archer in this cartoon, at least. He's primarily an archer, but he does carry a sword.
In fame, in lore, he's primarily an archer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in lore, he's primarily an archer, but he does carry a sword. A sword. Sword.
Excuse me.
Well, and also, I feel like...
In the third novel, he actually uses a sword against...
And I feel like there's a little Peter Pan in here, too, where, you know...
For Link?
Yeah, like, they're in green. They're, like, swashbuckling youngsters. So...
I've never considered Link a swashbuckling youngster, but I guess you're right.
In every game, he's always like 18-ish.
He's always buckling that squash. Swash. Can't even say
that. I think the only game where they come out and say, oh yeah, he's like a grown man now, is like Zelda 2, I want to say.
Or like Oot when he travels into the future.
Yeah, but even then he's just like 17 or 18.
I guess he was like 10 before, so.
Yeah. So.
Well, it's funny you bring up Zelda, because my idea was Moana as a Wind Waker clone.
Oh, Moana, yeah.
I think that'd
be a great Wind Waker. A nice adventure around, game there, yeah.
Your boat, you got the rock.
You pick up some powers.
Yeah. You go from island to island, leveling up. Getting XP.
Leveling up your Moana. Yeah.
I don't know what you level up, but maybe the boat. Yeah, I think it'd do something good.
Yeah. Wow. No, you're right. There is no Moana video game. Seems weird that they didn't do that.
I actually didn't search. Probably should have. Oh, but I feel like if there was, I mean, we would know about it.
Oh, it says right here. Disney Infinity's demise also killed a Moana game on Kotaku.
They must have put so much into Infinity and just bombed.
Mm-hmm.
Infinity was their, what's it called? Their buy a figure and put it in the game, right?
Yeah, it's their Skylanders, Skylanders. Lego Dimensions, aka.
I forgot
all those.
What Skylanders was called.
Yeah. Buy a toy and put it on a platform so you can play as that character. Yeah.
What a shame. Todd, did you have an answer?
You know, I was looking through a list of Disney movies, and every movie that I would make a game out of already has games. But I don't think there's been a game based on Flight of the Navigator.
Oh.
The depressingly dark movie that Disney made in 1984. What kind of game it would be? I guess it'd be kind of a point-and-click adventure game where you're trying to uncover what's going on, why is all your family dead when you wake up? You know, it's a lot of fun stuff like that. And you get to fly a spaceship at certain points.
That's almost Zelda-like. You wake up and have to find out what's going on.
Yeah, there's never like a ton of story in those Zelda's games. It's just like, oh, here you are. get your sword and shield and go save the world.
Hop to it, little kid.
And Huel, it looks like you were right. The Moana game was Wind Waker. Like, it looked very...
Oh, it's what it was going to be.
Yeah. It looked very much like that, where, you know...
I might have actually played that.
All right. Well, Todd, did you get any asks this week?
Let me check my inbox. I did get one ask. Somebody needs our help.
Ooh.
So let us... Ask the Sweet Boys. All right, send in all your life questions to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, and we will keep it anonymous. And
Todd, before we start, am I going to have to print out another blank family tree sheet to follow
no,
along here?
No family trees needed in this one.
Oh,
no plotting or planning.
All right,
No diagrams needed in this one. All right, this one, the subject of this ask is
beginner. All right, sorry, guys.
Beginner actor advice.
Ooh.
All right. I got distracted by your family tree tool there. All right, so the subject is beginner actor advice. I know this is a really hard career to get into, but for some reason it feels like this is what I was meant to do. I'm not interested in getting a regular job. Ever since I was younger, I wanted to be a movie star, LMAO. I practice a lot, and honestly, I feel like I'm pretty good and have what it takes. I'm aware I will be disappointed and be rejected, but it's a learning experience and will make me come back better and stronger the next time I audition.
So the ask is what?
Well, the only question mark in here is in the subject, which is beginner actor advice.
Oh, okay. So advice, general advice. All right. I think you got to use props in your audition. Like every audition have a prop.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it stand out. They're going to remember you. Helps put you in the scene.
Yeah.
Like if you're a cop, like bring in a gun.
Yeah. Oh, there's something there that you know you can rely on.
Yeah.
You're not going into a room of new faces. You have that one face, that gun staring you right in the face.
Yeah. So that dude has, you know, he brought a gun. I mean, he knows what he's doing as a cop. Like that kind of thing. Or if you're a lawyer, bring in one of those.
Yeah, it is just an audition. So leave your cop uniform at home. Just wear your regular clothes and just bring the gun.
Yeah. Or like if you're playing a lawyer, bring one of those judge hammers and be like, I'm in charge.
Yeah. I'm out of order. You're out of order. And then you bang it on their table.
Yes.
Always do an accent even if the script doesn't call for it.
Yeah, it'll show your range. Yeah.
My tip was going to be before you start acting, you should look at the director and go, I am now going to act. And then you act.
That's great. Because then they know you're starting.
Yes.
And I am going to act.
And when you're done, you go, and now I am done acting.
My acting has concluded.
Yes.
Because how else will they know?
Yeah.
They'll think, it's going to be so natural, they don't know like where the character ends and you begin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did we have any acting advice from a old video game, Todd? Maybe not advice, but maybe someone who was an actor?
Yes, someone who's a great actor.
I'm an actor, and I'm really, really good.
You should try to find that guy.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
He's really, really good.
Or Kirk Cameron. He can help you. I've seen his work.
Oh, great.
I was raised by a kind herd of wild cows.
See, now that...
Solid.
That is acting.
That is, you know what he did is he combined his two loves, acting and video games.
Mm-hmm.
I have established a thriving town in the Shimto Plains.
So let's imagine this is how the audition went. Kirk Cameron walked into the video game studio. He said, I am now going to act.
Mm-hmm.
I have established a thriving town in the Shimto Plains.
And now I am done acting.
I'm done acting.
I'm a very
here's your complimentary Bible, and we'll wait for your follow up.
There's the prop.
I'm a very brief tangent hearing the clip from the Horde. Huel, this week I sold a 3DO controller on eBay, and who bought it? But Steve Blackman.
And what?
Of course, it has to be the Lethal Weapon. There's no other.
There's only one Steve Blackman.
Yeah. So.
Former hardcore champion, Steve Blackman.
Yeah, yeah. Proud owner of a 3DO controller. Surprisingly, $22. That surprised me.
That is surprising.
Yes, I had a bundle of like five other controllers, and they sold for $3 total. So good for Steve Blackman.
Look, man, the guy loves his 3DO.
Got him through some tough times in the ECW days. It was the lethalest weapon. I think we need to wrap up here, guys. Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say before we signed off here?
Sure. Get this burning bat.
What is that from? Is that like one of the story parts?
It's from the flyer that you sent.
Oh, yes.
Right in the middle of the page.
Oh, man. It's a hell of a flyer. I'm going to have to include it because there's like no other for this game anyway. Huel, how about you?
Hurry, let's go to Las Vegas.
Oh, I mean, that kind of works for any game or any situation. It's always a good idea.
Yeah. I sign off with.
All right. Well, here's a snifferoo from next week's game.
Thank you.